Welcome to the Journey to Emerge, From Hidden to Heard podcast, where women step fully into their power, hosted by Sequoia T. Gilyard. This is a space to explore the messy, beautiful truth of becoming who you were always meant to be. Whether you're thriving but craving more, rebuilding after a setback, or finally ready to stop dimming your light, you belong here. Let's dive in.
I am your host, Sequoia, the Kingdom Connector, and you are in for a treat today. We have LaTerra Wise in the building. Hey, LaTerra.
Hello. How are you?
Good. So today we will be talking about the power of unmasking what's been keeping you hidden. Ooh, this sounds juicy.
Yes.
But before we dive into today's message, let me properly introduce LaTerra Wise to you all. So LaTerra Wise is the Heart Work Strategist, a solutions-focused life coach, speaker, author of Design of a Woman, The Art of Overcoming, and unmasked and founder of the ART of Overcoming membership. A firm believer that healing is both an art and a strategy, she empowers survivors of trauma to release guilt, shame, and fear so they can stop merely surviving and start thriving. LaTerra's journey to this work was personal, having navigated her own path through depression, grief, loss, and self-doubt. She knows firsthand what it means to feel broken beyond repair. But through faith, resilience, and intentional healing, she discovered that even shattered pieces can be made whole again. Now she teaches others how to do the same. As a coach, LaTerra blends strategy with soul, offering practical tools wrapped in compassion. She helps her clients break free from limiting beliefs, redefine their worth, and embrace the abundant life God has for them. Her approach is more than surface-level fixes. It's about deep, lasting transformation that rebuilds confidence, restores faith, and reignites purpose. Beyond coaching, LaTerra is a speaker who captivates audiences with her authenticity, humor, and heart-centered wisdom. Whether through her writing, workshops, or one-on-one guidance, her mission remains the same: to remind you that no matter how broken you feel, you are never beyond God's ability to restore. LaTerra doesn't just talk about overcoming, she lives it. Ooh, so y'all already know we have an amazing and phenomenal woman here on the podcast. Thank you, LaTerra, for being with us and gracing us with your beautiful presence on today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I am super, super excited.
Thank you. You are so welcome. So before we dive into today's subject, we're going to do a little icebreaker so my listeners can get to know you a little bit better in a fun way, okay?
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to do some spitfire questions. Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay. So coffee or tea?
Oh, coffee.
I'm gonna go with tea. Morning person or night owl?
Night owl.
Beach vacation or mountain getaway?
Oh, beach all the way.
Yes. Sweet or salty snacks?
Okay, I like both, but okay. Sweet is my go-to.
Okay. Texting or phone calls?
Okay, I say texting. People who are waiting for text from me might say otherwise.
Okay, so Netflix binge or reading a good book?
Ooh, that's good. I love a good book, but I also love a good murder mystery, so I'm gonna say Netflix binge.
Okay. Spontaneous plans or scheduled to the minute?
No, we're going to be spontaneous. Let's do spontaneous.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Pancakes or waffles?
Ooh, pancakes.
Sneakers or heels?
My heart says heels. My ankles say sneakers.
Sneakers. And the final one, karaoke superstar or absolutely not?
I'm a karaoke superstar, yes.
Okay, okay. Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to be your background for your background singers, because I am totally not a singer. So I'm so happy to know that you're a superstar. So I can call on you and say, Latera, come rock the mic.
Yeah, no, I didn't say I was a good singer, but I'm
going to
get up there and
do it. Okay. All right. So now that we've gotten to know you a little bit better, we are ready to dive into the power of unmasking what's been keeping you hidden. So, Latera, tell us, what were the masks that you were wearing, and why did you first put them on?
So, I think for me, the mask that was most familiar for me and the one that I still, you know, kind of work through is the mask of perfection. Mm. And I can't even tell you when I specifically I don't have a memory of putting it on. Because I grew up with a grandmother who loved me very, very much. But because of the experiences that she had in her life, had a very, very high standard for me. I was the first grandchild. I was the first granddaughter. So all of her unfulfilled dreams were poured into me. And while that kind of sounds like a good thing, you know, we want our children and our legacies to build on what we've done. For me, it was a suffocating expectation. Wow. That I had to be perfect. And she would call me her China doll. And so it was kind of ingrained that you need to be better than everybody around you. You need to be flawless. And so it was a mask that was put on me.
Wow.
Before I even was able to form my identity.
Latera, now you done hit on something real like big, because we think about the mask that we put on ourselves, but mm-hmm. we never think about the mask that other people place on us. And especially in a Black community, you know, we have always heard, you know, that you have to be twice as good and, you yeah. know, all of these different things because of the stock that we come from and because of our experiences as Black people. Mm-hmm. And so to hear you say that, hey, that my grandmother placed this mask on me of me having to be a perfectionist basically and fulfill her dreams and hope, I am pretty sure that there are other women who are experiencing or have experienced the same thing of not being able to truly identify who they are and discover their own identity before somebody else said, hey, this is who you are, this is what I want you to be and how I think you should grow up. So that hits really home, like seriously, like I didn't even think about that somebody else puts a mask on us sometimes. And mm-hmm. why do you think that we so easily accept those masks that somebody else puts on us?
Because we love them. A lot of times it's because we love those people. And for me, I am a people pleaser. And I think that stems from a root of rejection. I grew up without having my father around. So, you know, feeling like I have to earn love and I have to earn people's acceptance. And so, you know, allowing someone to say, okay, well, this is, you know, I want you to be the first doctor in the family. Because that was one of the first things I heard was, I want you to be the first doctor in the family. That was easy to accept because that was a tangible way of proving my worth and that I was lovable.
Wow. You know what, Latera? I can totally identify with that because I grew up in a family of healthcare professionals and in education professionals. And I felt like, well, because this is what the family does, you have to follow in the same footsteps as well, too. Never mind what it is that my goals and my dreams were as far as like in the arts, because I'm a very artsy and bubbly person, right? But none of that matters. It's like, no, we think you should do this. So there was always this internal like battle that I had with, like you said, trying to please those that, you know, had in their minds the best intentions, but then at the same time trying to and wanting to be true to yourself, but not feeling like you had the space to be able to do that. And then you said perfection was that mask for you. And that is a mask that so many women, and I'm gonna be honest, I'm a recovering perfectionist, that so many women deal with. So why do you think that mask in particular is like one of the prominent masks that women deal with?
I think because it's easy from the outside. If I can present a picture of perfection, then nobody sees the chaos that's going on inside of me. Wow. And so I don't have to deal with it. So if the picture looks pretty and people see, oh, she's successful, she's getting, you know, she's getting the good grades, she's got the good job, she's got the family and the husband and the cars and the homes, and she's got all that together, she must be doing great, you know. But they don't see the chaos inside. And so it's easy to hide.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Like, that is on point, Latera. Like, especially, and I got to go back to this, especially as Black women, there is so much pressure that we deal with in life, on our jobs, in our communities, in church. I mean, so many different avenues that we are involved in that just makes it feel like we can't show anybody, like you say, that, hey, I got a lot going on internally, because we have learned to show up for everybody else but ourselves. And so we have just been conditioned really to just say, hey, I'm okay, even when there is complete turmoil going on in the inside, because we're so used to being that rescue person for everybody else and not being able to totally focus on ourselves and our own healing. And so thank you for bringing that awareness to us. And so what was that breaking point for you that made you want to remove the mask that you were wearing?
Now see, that was the first mask. There were a ton of masks between there and then the break. But I think the breaking point for me was as my children were getting older, and I lost my grandfather. I think losing him in 2017, like, he was my foundation. So where my grandmother was the standard of, I need you to be perfect, my grandfather was, I'm just happy that you're in my life. You know, he was the, I accept you as who you are. And so when he was gone, that foundation was like, okay, now what? And so I became like a different person. Like, there was an anger and there was an irritation that my family started feeling from me. And that was the beginning of breaking that mask. The final thing, I think, was, you know, realizing as my family was getting older, I have poured into everybody else. When my kids are out of the house and my husband doesn't, you know, fully need my support, and we're going to be in a different dynamic in our relationship, who am I?
That's a great question to ask yourself. Yes, who are you?
Yeah. And so that was the breaking point, is like, I don't really know who I am. So that allowed me to start removing that mask, to get to know and love all of those pieces of me that weren't perfect, but were purposed.
Yes, I love how you just said that. They weren't perfect, but they were purposed. And I think it's so beautiful of your story of realizing that, hey, after I've done all of this pouring, who am I? Who is Latera beyond the service and the pouring that I do to others? When I get by myself in a room away from everybody else and it's just me, who am I? And that's a question that a lot of people struggle with not knowing who they are outside of their responsibilities and their job duties. Like, they really have no idea of their identity beyond what they do or can do for others. And so thank you for bringing that, you know, to the forefront. And you did mention that there were other masks. So are there any other masks that are coming to you right now? Like, I dealt with this a lot, and I'm pretty sure that there are other women who dealt with it that you want to speak upon.
The people pleaser mask is one that I know a lot of women deal with for a couple of different reasons. The reason that we tell ourselves, the pretty reason, is that we just have a loving heart and we want to give to everybody and we want to make sure that everybody else is okay.
Mm-hmm.
The real, if you get down to it, reason is, as long as I'm focusing on you, I don't have to focus on me.
Wait a minute, Lilo, Tara, wait a minute. Hold on. Now you stepped on somebody's 10 toes and 10 fingers with that statement just now. But continue on. Now let me catch my breath.
there is a selfish undertone to being a people pleaser.
Wow.
And then there's also that validation of, you know, helping and being the person that people lean on. Although it is a pressure, there is some validation. There is something in there that makes us feel loved and wanted and like we're needed. But if your determination of your worth and your value and how much you are worthy is based on what you're doing for others, when others don't need you or when they turn their back on you, then you're stuck.
Wow. Absolutely. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people are afraid to admit, is that, you know, like you said, it is for selfish reasons when you get down to the root of it. But some people are just afraid of being that honest of like, hey, I don't feel love. I don't feel seen. I don't feel, you know, supported or needed until I show up and I give to other people. And we say we're doing it from a selfless place, but like mm-hmm. you said, that there is some selfishness rooted in there, because I'm pretty sure there's some rejection, some disappointment. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times we try to be that person that we don't feel that we have in our own lives to other people. And we end up just getting lost in the sauce. And then this is just another mask of people pleasing that we put on. And I'm going to raise my hand because I've been there. You know, so I'm going to tell the truth. She hit all 10 toes of mine and 10 fingers. Okay. So I appreciate you so much for digging deep with that, because a lot of times we just hear people pleasing, but we don't go to the root of why people are people pleasing. And a lot of times we're afraid to, and I think there's some shame around that too, of saying, hey, I don't feel seen unless I'm helping somebody or somebody give me kudos or recognition. Then that's the only time that I feel seen or supported. And it's like, yes, you do want to be honored for the support, but make sure that your reason for supporting is not like, oh, I just want to be seen or I just want to be recognized or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, we got perfection, we got people pleasing, and you said that you realizing that, hey, once you have done pouring into everybody and your children are out of the house and you sat down with yourself and it's like, hey, I don't know, LaTara, what were the steps that you took to remove the mask?
Mm-hmm. So before we jump into that, because there is one other mask that I think is important that we need to address.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and jump into it.
and that is the strong woman mask.
Ooh, yes. Ooh.
Okay, because they all kind of come together. They all go together. They do. But that idea that you have to be strong for everyone. I got to a point where I'm like, I don't want to be strong. I don't want to be dependable. I don't want people to lean on me. I just want to be soft and fall apart. Can I do that?
Yes. Yes.
And so that realization is what led me to actually that point of starting to remove the mask. It was like, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm tired.
Yes, because it becomes like this burden and you don't realize that it becomes a burden until it's almost like your soul is like, I can't do this anymore. I can't take any more of this. Like, it just grieves your spirit. And it's like, when you get to that point, it's like, okay, I'm just done. I don't want to wear any mask anymore. And like you said, that strong woman, ooh, let's hear it. Listen here, get out of my head and off of my toes and my fingers, okay? Because I'm pretty sure my listeners as well to identify with that strong woman. And it comes where, you know, you show up for everybody but yourself. And when you need that same kind of support, it's like, it's one or none. Mm-hmm. And you are like, you know what? I don't want to hold the pieces together. I don't want to be the foundation of this house, of everybody else's house, but mine. You know what I'm saying? I don't have that same type of support. And so it becomes so draining emotionally, mentally, and if we're not careful, physically as well, too. And so we have to remind ourselves that we don't have to be strong for everybody else, you know, even for ourselves. And this is where, you know, as a Christian, you know, I rely on my faith and in my relationship with God to lean on him, because I'm like, God, you know what? Today, I don't want to be strong. Today, I'm a mess. I might just want to cry and just talk about whatever it is that I'm feeling. And I don't want to feel like I can't be strong. I can't be weak in that moment. Weakness is not a negative thing. It's just me admitting that, God, this is a situation that I can't handle. It is beyond me. I'm surrendering it over to you. And so where do you believe that that strong woman mask comes from?
I know for me particularly, and, you know, for us as Black women, that mask, that is another one that's kind of put on us by society, is that you have to be strong because you, you know, we are the silent foundation of society, where we bear the weight and we bear the burden of the, you know, we're the ones who are often talked about most of how we have those negative stereotypes. But we're the ones who show up for everybody.
True.
And so bearing that weight, you got to have strong shoulders to be able to have a world essentially spit in your face on a regular basis and still be able to stand. The world, the society doesn't allow us as Black women to be soft. It's like that. It's like that can't exist in the mind of our society. If you're Black, then you're strong or you're angry or you're aggressive and brash. But that is not who we are. That is, in some situations, who we have to become in order to protect ourselves. But that is not our default.
Wow. Whew. Latera, listen, we just gonna pass the offering plate. We're just gonna take up a little collection right here for Pastor Latera, because she is coming heavy with the word. Oh man, Latera, thank you so much for speaking truth, for speaking truth that is not often acknowledged, especially in our community, because we are, as you said, I love how you said, the silent foundation, because we don't get credit for all of the the building that we have done in society, but everybody copies us and try to mimic us, but we don't get the credit and the recognition that we need to as Black people, especially as Black women. We do not get it. So going back to the question, what were the steps that you took to remove the masks that you were wearing?
Yes. And I'm so glad you said acknowledging, because that is the part of the foundation. So for me, the art of overcoming method is what God gave me to first remove my mask and then help others remove their own. And so it begins with acknowledgement. It begins with acknowledging where you are. Are you in your place of victimhood? Are you in a place of survival? Or are you at that place of overcoming? And most of us start at that place of victimhood. And we stay there a lot, not because, you know, it's easy, but we do get something from that place of victimhood. that's where that external validation comes for the people pleaser. That's where, you know, the praise comes for the perfectionist. And so sometimes we sit in that and we allow ourselves to sit in that because we're getting something. That place of victimhood doesn't feel good, but we're getting something that keeps us just comfortable enough that we stay there.
Wow.
And so when you acknowledge not just the mask that you've been wearing, but why you're allowing yourself to stay there, that allows you to confront yourself, to see yourself. Acknowledgement is where the mask comes off and you're looking in the mirror and that question, who am I, comes into play. And so after you acknowledge all of that, then you get to a place where you can release yourself from the standards that other people have put on you, from the societal pressures. You release all of that and you return to your identity, to who God made you to be. And sometimes it might not be a return. It might be a journey to revealing. Because you might not know who you are. You might not have had an opportunity to develop that identity for yourself. And so it's the release is an exciting time of exploration. And then the T is transforming. That's where God transforms your heart. He transforms you from who you used to be to who he created you to be. Ooh. And then in turn, you get to share your story and transform the lives of others because of what you've been through. So wow. That's the process that I had to go through. And it was not a quick and easy process, but it was so worth it.
I am so glad that you went through that process, and not only that, but that you're also teaching other women to go through that process as well too. And so I want to know, like, how did your faith play a role in that process?
Oh, my faith was everything. And I think part of rediscovering my identity and being able to remove those masks was unlearning the things that I learned in church.
Mm.
And learning who God truly was, or truly is, because he still is.
Still is.
But for me, growing up in church, it was a God of damnation. Like, if you make the wrong step, you are going to hell.
Yeah.
If you don't do the right thing, you are going to hell. And there is very little grace. The road is narrow. there is no room for mistakes or grace. And so that created an anxiety in me. And, you know, I stepped away from a while for a while, because I was, you know, I was in church. I was on the choir. I was on the youth board. I was on the praise team. I was a praise dancer. I led the praise dancing. I was an usher.
You were everything.
I came in one time. I was six. I don't even know if I was 16 yet, but she's like, you are going to be an armor bearer for the pastor. I don't feel like mean that, but okay. So it was, again, those expectations being put on me. And I was like, I just don't feel like God.
Right.
So a lot of my journey is unlearning those religious traditions and truly learning who God is. God is, yes, he is a God of correction, but it's not condemnation. He's not going to make you feel bad because you've made a mistake. Now that, well, there's a little, you know, that conviction.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will convict you. So you have, but he's not going to repeatedly tear you down. God is not going to tear you down. He's going to build you up. He's going to be like, okay, hey, you straying away a little bit. Let's come back.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, in that correction, there is gentle love. And I think that's a lot of times where we as Christians get stuck. There are a lot of people who want to condemn and judge. And that's not my job. My job is to love you like God loves. to show that unconditional love. And I think just seeing who God is for myself, that has been one of the biggest shifts for me. Yeah. And so my faith is everything, because it's ground in who God is to me personally. Aww. Because I have experienced him.
Yes.
Because he saved me when I was on the brink of suicide. Because he met me in my dark place. And he also sits with me on the journey. So
yes.
My faith is everything.
Oh man, Latera, I so love this. And I'm so glad that you went through that journey, because I feel like I went through that as well too, of unlearning. I got so tired, and this is just me being very transparent, because you're going to be real mm-hmm. on the podcast, okay? I was to a point where I was just so tired of church. A lot of people will leave church and leave God. I mm-hmm. was able to recognize that God, just because I'm experiencing some craziness in church, does not mean that I'm experiencing this with you. I recognize yes. people's humanity, and I think that's where people get confused. So I left church for a couple of years, but I always made sure that I'm nurturing my relationship with God, because he is literally the source of our lives. And it's like, if I disconnect from the source, it's like, where would I be? I'm like, God, I cannot imagine my life without you. And as you said, he met you in the most darkest place and moments of your life. And it's like, I experienced the same thing too. It's like, God, I felt like, I don't know what's below rock bottom, but just right. a few years ago, I was there. And I'm like, God, only you can come to where I am and pick me up and reach me at a place where nobody else can, and pick mm-hmm. me up and pull me out of this. So for me, I'm like, God, listen, we stuck together, okay? Like the gorilla glue, we stuck together, okay? So thank you so much for sharing that, because I'm pretty sure that there's going to be a woman who's going to listen to this, and she needs to hear that in our journey, our healing journeys, and as we are unlearning and rediscovering or discovering wherever you are in the stage of it, that God is right there with us. And he is so ready for us to get to know who he created us to be before the foundation of the world. Yes. So thank you, Latera. So with all of this unmasking and transformation happening, how did your life, your business, relationships change after you start the unmasking process?
Life became easier. And I don't mean that in, I don't face hardships, because life, but I stopped being a fragmented woman.
Ooh, you know, say that again.
I stopped being a fragmented woman. We, when we're wearing those masks, have to hold up different identities in different places. And that is exhausting. And so when I took that mask off, baby, who you see is who you get. And if you don't like it, that's on you.
Right.
I am everywhere I go, in every place that I go. And whether you agree with who I am or not doesn't affect me at all, because my foundation is rooted in the identity that God gave me. And the shift, you know, after overcoming, or, you know, going through the art of overcoming process, there were three fundamental truths that God gave me that are my core and my foundation and what ground me. And the first is that you are loved. Mm. And that is rooted in Romans 8, 38 and 39. Which basically tells us that there is nothing in heaven or hell, in the past or present or future, that will ever separate us from God's love.
Amen.
And so that undid all of that. If you do the wrong thing, you're going to hell. And so understanding that God loves me no matter what, I can show up imperfect and he's still going to love me. I can have those days when I might not say the right thing and he's still going to love me. So I'm good. And then you are purposed. God has never created anything that he didn't have need of. And so my existence means that I am supposed to be here. In whatever room I walk into, the authentic me is supposed to be here. Mm. And so I don't have to wear a mask because who God made me is enough and is perfect for the places that he's taking me.
Wow.
And then the last one is you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Everything about you is intentional. The quirks, the things that people make fun of, the things that, you know, the parts of you that you would share. For me, I am goofy. And a lot of times when I was younger, that goofiness was met with like mocking and things. And so that part of me got tucked away. But now, you know, I don't break out. And sometimes I break out in random songs. But all of me, everything about us is intentional. And so for yes. us to ignore or deny a part of that is doing a disservice, not only to us, but to the people we are supposed to impact. And it's a little bit of an insult to God. Like, okay, yes. God, you made me this way, but I don't like this part. And he's like, but that part is going to reach somebody that nobody else can.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's that, baby. You get you. Who you see is who you get everywhere. That changed the way that I showed up, you know, in everything. It actually shifted the business because my focus is on now bringing creativity and play and fun back into people's lives. I just want people to know joy.
Yes.
Yes.
And so that was a shift for me. I used to sit in the brokenness with people and I'm like, and I got to a point where I'm like, I don't want to sit in it with you. I want to see you get past it.
Yes.
And I
yes.
want, so if you come to me, we can sit for a day and process our feelings. I will always tell you to feel your feels, but we're going to put a time limit on it and then we're going to move on.
Right.
And so it changes the way that I show up for people in business and in relationships. I think I draw more authentic people to me now. I draw the right people to me because, like I said, who you see is who you get. So if you like it and love it, we can rock. If you don't, cool.
Amen. Listen, I am just so happy that I am getting to know the authentic and loving LaTerra and Goofy, because I swear to you, I mean, I won't say the joke here on the podcast, but when we were helping a certain someone and we were at Cracker Barrel and they were getting a little bit stressed out and anxiety, and you told them that, hey, they need to calm it on down, but you said it in such a fun way. I mean, I think about that and I laugh. It brings me so much joy, but you know, we're not gonna put that person on blast podcast. But I just want to just let you know that your goofiness brings so much joy and it makes the hard work that we do during that time of the year so much more fun and enjoyable because of the goofiness and the fun that you bring to the atmosphere. So thank you for being your authentic self.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So what advice would you give to women who are currently wearing masks?
The mask is not who you are. And no matter the reason you put on the mask, you're not defined by it. And removing the mask won't break you. It may shift some people out of your life. It may change the way that you see other people, the way that you see your circumstances. You may have a time of loneliness. Now, I'm not going to say may. You will have a time of loneliness. Removing the mask is the beginning, but and the beginning is hard. Not going to lie and say that it's easy. It is not. But once you remove that mask, you get to meet yourself. And that makes it all worth it. you get to define who you are outside of any role that you have ever occupied, outside of any person that you've been connected to. You get to know yourself as God created you. And that's a beautiful thing, because the world is waiting to see who you are.
Thank you, Latera. Girl, I'm trying to tell you all I got to say. You're not the pastor's armor bearer. You just gone ahead and got ordained as the pastor.
That's funny. One of my spiritual gifts came back as okay, it said pastor something. I was like, Jesus.
Listen, you ain't got to be the pastor in the pulpit, but I can definitely see, because you are a guy.
That is not my call. The pulpit is not my call.
Listen, I said the same thing. Not me either. I'm outside. I'm in a part of street ministry, I guess you could say. That's where I'm at too. But I definitely get to see you having that pastor anointing, because you are great at gathering people and just leading people and pouring into people as well too. But from a healthy place though.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see that. So I'm not shocked that that came back as one of your spiritual gifts. So how can our listeners stay in contact with you?
So I am at Latera Wise on all social media. Now, am I active on all social media? No, but I am a work in progress. But the best place to find me is inside of the membership, the Art of Overcoming community. That is where I pour on a regular basis.
Okay.
And you can find information about that and my coaching and all of that at laterawise.com. But yeah, that's where I am. Now, as the Lord leads me, I'm going to be in some other places.
Absolutely, you will. You're going to be in other places, stages. I mean, on other podcasts, your own podcast, more books, workshops, conferences around the world. So we just speaking and declaring all of that.
Yes. the energy to do it all as well.
Yes. And to have an amazing team to support you, because yes, we know it's going to take a team to be able to help you to do what God has called you to do. Well, Latera, I just want to say thank you so much for being on the Journey to Emerge from Hidden to Her podcast. We have thoroughly enjoyed you, and you already know we're going to have you back, because you've been dropping gems the entire time. So we thank you so much for being a part of this amazing podcast, and we can't wait to have you back again.
Thank you. Thank you. This was fun. This was good.
You're welcome.
That wraps up today's conversation. But here's one thing. Emergence isn't a one-time event. It's a journey. It's choosing yourself over and over again, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's scary. If today's episode resonated with you, subscribe so you'll never miss a moment. Leave a review and share what hit home for you. Your words help other women discover this space. Follow Kingdom Connector, that's Connector with a K, on social media for daily encouragement and behind-the-scenes moments. Want to go deeper? Head to www.jtepodcast.com and join the email community for insights, tools, and real talk you won't hear anywhere else. Remember, you were never meant to stay hidden. Your emergence matters. See you next time.